Okay, so if you would close your eyes, please. I'm going to read you an excerpt from the communication book. Enormous amounts of suffering happen because we're conditioned with don't say anything. Enormous amounts of suffering also happen because we're conditioned to identify with ego and let it do our talking for us rather than being present. In either case, whether ego voices are shutting us up or goading us on, our underlying belief is that saying or not saying something solves the problem. It never does. What we need is a way to sort out what's really going on for us before we attempt to communicate with someone else. We need to take the time to discern what is so for us and what is being distorted by the conversation in conditioned mind. This is where a recording and listening practice comes in. Okay, if you would open your eyes, please. What we're going to do is, you can stay in the hall or go outside for this exercise. There are two exercises. I'm going to give you the first one. Once you do the first one, come back into the hall, or I'll leave a stack of the exercises on the hall table, right? Come back and pick up the second exercise. Please don't go too far away or back to your rooms, because a bell will ring when it's time to come back into the hall after doing both exercises. Is that clear? You are going to need a recorder for this assignment. And the exercise is about really getting clear about what's going on for you.
Right now, you mean?
Well, you'll read the. There's a situation described in both exercises, and so your assignment is to get really clear about what's going on for you. And the instructions are all in the exercise. Okay. So you're welcome to stay in the hall, but you might want to be able to be in a place where you can say what's going on for you. Just stay on the path. And we'll leave informally. So if you want to go outside and record, you're welcome to. And when you're done, just come back in for the second exercise. There'll be a stack here and a stack outside.
Ashwini?
Oh, sorry.
The paper that I have...
It's the exercise two. It doesn't matter. Whichever one goes first.
Are there more? We didn't get
there any. Should be.
Yeah. There are a lot of them.
There are lots coming along.
It's already
now. Yes, it's not in an order. It's just exercise one and exercise two. So, anyone else that doesn't have one? Scott? They're not. Sorry, I distributed exercise two instead of exercise one. But let's just say it says one on it.
There is one.
Everyone has one? Does anyone not? Okay.
First exercise. Now consider the question, what information do you find difficult to receive? Tune into a situation where you are being given information that is hard for you to hear. Switch on the recorder and describe what's going on for you. Practice accessing what you are feeling, what you are experiencing, what you are believing. Allow it all to spill onto the recorder. Let the person say why it's difficult for them to get this information. Is it the tone of the interaction, the words that get used, the meaning that is implied? What is the message that gets delivered, which may or may not be implied by the communication, that makes information hard for you to hear? When you feel clear that you've captured what is going on for you, listen to the recording. Then jot down what you noticed in doing this exercise. Okay, this is the second exercise. sit quietly. Close your eyes and consider this question. What information do you find difficult to give? Now tune into a situation where you find yourself having to give information that is hard for you to give. Switch on the recorder and describe what's going on for you in this situation. Practice accessing what you are feeling, what you are experiencing, what you are believing. Allow it all to spill out into the recorder. Get a sense of what the voices say to you to stop you from saying what you have to say. What are you told are the consequences of saying what you want to or have to say? What is the threat that is explicitly stated or implied that prevents you from saying something? When you feel you are clear about what's going on for you, listen to your recording and jot down what you noticed in doing this exercise.
I
would really ask you to project.
Okay.
If anyone can't hear, please wait. Okay? I'm going to try to reflect, but if you can project, that would be great.
Okay, so what came up both times, afraid to hear and afraid to give, the issue of power came up for me.
Power.
Power. Mm-hmm. And who's got the power?
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting because when the other person is perceived to have the power and I'm aware of it, in work, it's less an issue. I have nervous, I go through fears of rejection, all that, but it's not.
So say what's going on for you in that situation, Joni. Because the exercise was to not tell the story,
right?
But to get clear about what's going on for you.
Okay, so with important people important to me, a lot of fear.
Fear.
A lot of fear comes up, a lot of rejection.
So fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also anger, because in parts of it sometimes there's but I'm right, you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
So
there's fear of being rejected by the other person, and also a tremendous amount of anger because you feel like you're right and the other person's wrong, but you can't give that information back to the other person.
Or I feel that what the person's accusing me of, either one, I wasn't conscious of it. I assumed they knew.
Uh-huh.
Or number two, that but they did the same thing to me, you
yes.
know? So
different standards here.
Yes.
Yeah. So a sense of I should be held to the same standard as you. You can't be telling me about something or giving me feedback about something that you do without you do.
Yes.
And I did, if I did, without being conscious of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the second part of all this, and then I'll stop, was consciousness. Uh-huh. What really came up to me in this exercise, which I'd never seen before.
Can everyone hear?
Yeah. But really, I realized that, you know, the old message, what killed the messenger, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've been through that.
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes If I'm not conscious, sometimes I lack consciousness.
Yeah, we all do.
With certain, certain areas, I got it. Okay, I got to be very careful how I approach this, you know, factual, truthful, benefit, blah, blah, blah. But certain areas, it's like, whoa. I mean, I had no idea. And when I say something, not being aware of all of where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Sometimes it's ego, not even aware that
yes.
it is.
Well, and that's a very important point and such an important insight, right, Joni? Because that's part of what we're saying here. We don't know when ego is in charge because it feels so much like me. That when ego is there, what is not there is conscious awareness. You're woken
yes.
up from it at some point when it's convenient to the voices to get you a beating. But as long as you're in that interaction, you have no idea that what's coming out of your mouth is ego.
Yes, and there's another part to it. A lot of times when I am sharing, telling somebody something that's sensitive, I'm talking, which is why the recording listening is so powerful, causes other things to come up in me. It's like other stuff emerges, and I'm not conscious of saying, I better look at that before I say that.
I mean, yeah. The train's just running down the track,
exactly,
and the scrambler's operating, causing you to get your attention on the conversation and split with what you're saying. And what happens is the attention's not here. So at some point, there's no Joni involved in the conversation. It's all the conditioning that's operating.
Yes. And the other people are usually sensitive enough and smart enough to go, boom! You know, right? I mean, they know, even before I know, that I'm coming from ego.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and so it's like, so then, of course, the rejection.
Yes. So then this rejects you. But we take it as a rejection.
True, yeah.
Right?
Of course, I think they're rejecting.
That's exactly right. And it's why we did the exercise we did in the morning, right? Where when you imagine you're in a conversation with someone, there's the I that you can see, but the you that you're projecting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because in every interaction, you're not having, the conversation is actually not happening with the other person. It's all happening here. Ego I, ego you, ego scrambler, all of them are involved, and God knows what comes out of our mouth. Right?
And even as I'm sharing it now, I can't hardly keep it. It's like the deny, you know, the,
yes.
the ego is really, it's like...
Yes, which is why this is a process tool. Because before we try to figure out what's going on in a conversation and prepare what we're going to say and rehearse and you know, whatever is going to come, I have a response to it, one really needs to get into the practice of being able to go to our experience and know what's going on for me. Because it's an important point what you said. I actually don't know what's going on for me. And if I'm listening to that conversation, I don't have the presence to say, wait a minute, folks, I can't have this conversation now. Let me go pick up the recorder and get clear with what's going on, and I'll come back and continue. Because that would be a good thing to do.
Right.
You wouldn't suffer.
Right.
Right? Because you pause the karmic interaction and what is actually going on for you. I project when you are aware of a projection of inequality of power, it never occurs to you to tell the other person, you know what? I'm actually really scared right now. That never gets communicated.
I'm afraid again.
That's right. But the point is that if you knew that for yourself and you had a way to process that for yourself, then it's a very different relationship with it than trying to deal with it when you're in the situation and not knowing what's going on for you.
And it's not just scared or fear. I feel terror.
Terror, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, what we're trying to point at here, right, this is not the two-handed, but this is the right hand. there's a way in which we, before communicating or attempt to resolve a communication with anyone, what we really want to do is get really, really clear of what's going on for me. And how can I work with that before I send her out into the battlefield to have one more one more encounter that causes her to retire feeling powerless and rejected. It's good
can
to
I,
see.
Can I borrow that tape recorder and?
Don't worry, you got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Rebecca and Kevin.
I appreciate this. I appreciate this so much. This exercise and the reference to the morning exercise, because so what I saw was there was that no idea what was going on with me. I was just the one trying to maneuver it all to where it was an effective communication.
Yes. You were in the ego position of trying to be the best and perfect communicator possible.
Absolutely.
Which was not about what communicating what was actually going on for you, because you weren't in touch with it.
Exactly. Yeah. It was, yes. And yes, exactly. And oblivious to it.
And oblivious to it.
And then what I noticed in doing the exercise, that last line, and jot down what you saw in doing this, was that while I was doing the exercise, I was hearing, oh yeah, well that is like an Enneatype 2, and yeah, ma'am, you know, that's just the karma talking, and ha ha, and all of this stuff that is actually true, it's factual probably, it just is totally beside the point. It's basically obfuscating what is actually going on for me.
Yes.
It is subject-objecting me.
Yes, and it's so wonderful to catch on to it.
Yeah.
That's going on for you when you're talking to somebody, right? Being the person who's attempting to communicate, you can't actually tell what's going on because you're so identified with the receiver of that communication from all of this.
Yes.
But when you're writing, you can watch it happen.
Yeah. Let me see if this is what you're saying. I think this is what I'm seeing now is that I could see it when I was doing the exercise because it's happening even when there's not another person there, and it's happening when there is another person there.
That's exactly right.
And the attention is so conditioned to go to that voice because it sounds so spiritually mature. And well-versed.
Yes, because it's well-versed in the Enneagram. It knows it knows the word karma. It knows that you're an Enneatype 2.
It knows, and it can quote chapter and verse from every sign in my whole life of how this was the evidence of that. And it knows, it's got everything.
Right. And
except compassion.
Except compassion. Mm-hmm. And so to be able, and that's really the point of it, right? That the ability to see that process does not allow you to get clear about what is really going on for you.
Yes.
As a result of which, there's no authentic connection possible.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're stuck in that scrambled process.
Yeah. It was so helpful when you said this morning that the scrambler is both in the comfortable conversation or in the uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Because the scrambler can just be saying really sweet, wonderful things, but it's still scrambling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's Penny's point. What is obscured is clarity.
Yes.
And what the clarity that's obscured, it's what's going on now.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's nobody with this human.
That's exactly
right. That's the bottom line. There's just nobody with her. There's some people who can talk about her, who can talk to her, who can talk at her, who can even talk for her, but
yes,
they're not with her at all.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So the attention's not here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Scott, and then Jen. Scott.
Oh, okay. Hands up.
And Kevin, sorry.
Very, super helpful.
You hear?
I'll
super
speak
helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is really helpful because even as you said, we're at the beginning, we're talking from our experience, not about our experience.
Yes.
And I realized in my dyad, I think I talked about my experience. And it's so key, as was just being discussed, that's what's obscuring getting in touch with what's going on.
Yes.
Because what's going on is someone's feeling afraid and weak and stupid. Mm-hmm. And those things are so unacceptable. The belief is anybody who's like that won't survive. So I'm not actually feeling like that.
Uh-huh. So such an important point to catch on to, right? That the conversation, if you're talking about your experience, you're not in touch with your experience. Because what you're in touch with is weakness, somebody who's feeling stupid, with certain knowledge that they're not going to survive, and so to avoid that, not to be in touch with it.
Yeah, I mean, and there's the coping of whoever shows up because, ooh, growth, you know, that person's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And then here's somebody else who can be very articulate about just what was being spoken. Oh, I mean, I know I have this thing and I'm worried about them being rejected and da-da-da-da-da.
Uh-huh.
And not seeing that the person is being, that fear of being rejection is already happening.
Yeah.
They've just been rejected in that you're so unacceptable, you don't get to talk.
Yeah.
You don't get to be like that. It's
mm-hmm.
not okay.
Uh-huh.
So just shove that down. And you certainly can't tell anybody about that.
Yeah.
Right? Because now you would have to own you're like that.
Yeah.
And that's not okay either. So you can't talk about it, can't even acknowledge it to yourself.
Yes, and that's the biggest lie, right, Scott? Because if you were able to get in touch with the human being and really process what's going on, you wouldn't identify with the ego that is basically saying that you're unacceptable and you're not. Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Right? What it's through the collusion or the secrecy,
yeah.
you're being required to identify with the program as who you are rather than just get in touch with what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly acceptable because you're feeling it.
Mm. Right, because it's what's so. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be acceptable. It's here now.
Yeah.
But it reminds me why it's so important for me to continue those two-handed exercises, because to say something like, well, it's totally okay to feel like that, is different than the person experiencing that it's okay to feel like that.
Yes.
And in the two-handed exercise, they get to experience, they get to be listened to and have someone just reflect most of the time. That's what they're feeling, and they get accepted.
Yes.
Then that lie that they're trapped in, that they're not acceptable in that way, starts to dissolve.
Yes.
But if it continues to be intellectualized or, oh, no, it's okay to feel like that, they never get embraced, and
yes.
then, so then they can't dissolve.
So I think what you're saying is the power of getting clear, right?
Yeah.
Because even if someone tells you it's all right to feel that way, or, you know what, Scott, you're not that way, it's really not
right.
true, which is so unhelpful when you're feeling like that. But in being able to say it is the acceptance.
Mm.
In the ability to say what's going on for me, because it's edited and censored, and it's considered so unacceptable that it can't be brought into the light of presence. The alternative is to actually be able to say, I'm afraid, or I feel stupid.
Yeah. And
that's the first layer of acceptance.
Yeah.
And then when you listen to that,
yeah.
then that's the other layer of acceptance, where there's a witnessing of no one's coming after you saying, don't feel that way, or that's stupid to feel that way. It's just being listened to.
Mm-hmm. And there's the freedom. You can see the editing. The editing is its resistance to it coming into the light of day.
Yes.
Because once it comes out into the light of day, you're like, oh, there's this precious person.
Yes.
You know, you just move completely out of that trap. So you can see why there's so much editing and censoring.
Yes.
That it's not, and that's not even personal.
It's not even personal. And you have to keep persisting to get to the authenticity
yeah.
that wants to speak through all of the layers of the scrambler. Kevin.
I just had to laugh because the last two shares were so relevant, but also this like extended.
You have to speak louder, Kevin. I know you
sure.
can.
Sorry. And yes, I can. This whole extended anticipation of contributing in group that was just happening for me right now, like,
uh-huh.
is what came up for me.
Yes.
So
what do
this,
I say?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there's this like very intense, visceral, bodily experience I'm having right now.
Uh-huh.
And so thank you for sort of like extending that. Yeah, when I was first looking at some kind of information that was difficult to communicate, what I was hearing was something around, well, usually I'm over participating in groups, and actually that's, if anything, there's, I'm always feeling entitled to communicate things. And then I realized, well, of course, this was just happening last night and this morning in group, and now it's happening right now. This sense that, no, you can't talk in this group. This particular group is somehow not, in this moment, doesn't, ego, it feels very vulnerable, right? Because it is.
Yeah.
And so...
So what you were in touch with is the feeling of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
That is very distinct from those groups where you feel there's not invulnerable at some level. There's, as you said, an entitlement to talk.
Mm.
But here, what you were in touch with was feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and fear, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And fear. Say and more about the fear.
So, and then I think that'll become maybe brought into more focus. So then I was trying to think of when else have I felt this, because I can't remember, and there's one other time I can remember, and it was relatively recently. I was interviewing for something that was very, very important to me, and there was like 20 people in a room, and we all were interviewed, vying for a limited number of spots, and it was very, very competitive, and it was so stressful, and I had 2 minutes to stand up and basically sell myself to the group. And we all did this, right, in a row. And it's so performative and gross and high stakes. And I almost passed out beforehand. And then I stood up and did quite well. But, like, there was a period of 5 minutes where I was worried I might actually collapse onto the floor. And it feels like when I'm about to participate in this group. And that's so interesting to me. And I'm still going to have to keep looking at that in terms of why. But I think, in terms of the fear, I think the consequence that I'm being told is total rejection. And not just rejection, but rejection from a group or institution that I desperately want, that I value, and that I desperately want to belong with.
It's such a survival place, right?
Mm.
That is probably the intensity of it. It is life or death in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the performance place.
Yes. Which is, yeah.
Well, which points to, I think, the vulnerability, right? Because if you are under that level of scrutiny to perform...
Mm-hmm.
The underlying belief there, if you're getting in touch with it, is you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the end of the world.
And that's going to be the end of the world. It's such a young place.
Mm-hmm. And so then comes in all of the, like, trying to control and manage the outcome, and all of the preparation and the rehearsing in the head, and all of the things that just get in the way with being present and available for the moment as it is.
Yes. Well, and we'll watch this as we do this retreat, is that there's a way in which we want to know what the script is, right? Which is what the morning exercise was about.
Mm.
Who I am, who do I project, what's the karma, and how, and for you, the coping behavior in this situation.
Mm.
This exercise is to get really in touch with the person who's dropped into that situation and gets completely railroaded by the programming. Because there's a way in which, if that isn't in conscious awareness, that person can be made to suffer anywhere.
That's really helpful.
Right? Because
it is a very tender...
Yes, because the program will take you on the road for every roadshow. Right? And we don't know why until we do something like this and get really clear what's really going on for that human being. And the external communication at some point will get to taking care of that. But it's the what never gets communicated about this person and their experience and what they're going through and that held in compassion or acceptance, right? They just have to perform here.
And it also leads me to be so grateful for the practice that there is at least some container. I'm having this experience now, and then even in that high stakes where the morning started with, I love you, thank you, and the night started with, I love you. Thank you. There was this compassion that at least bookended the day, even if I lost touch with it in the sort of intensity of the moments.
Yeah.
And so there's not a getting lost for such a long period in the suffering.
Yes. That's the gratitude of the practice, that something or the other brings us back to the container of compassion.
Yeah.
And that we're being given a structure of no escape, where the only thing we are doing is getting in touch with that. Because it would be, I project, really hard to get up in front of a group of people and say, I'm feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. I did, actually.
You did. That's right. Right? That there's a way in which we have to do something like this in order to be able to confess that to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to do that even. Thank you. Jen.
I was seeing that I've been in this situation where I felt, that I have felt really confused in this situation. Is that better? Okay. And what I was...
Can you hear Jen?
What I was seeing was, it feels like the condition process talked me into, like, agreeing to something without really getting clear first, like, did I feel okay to agreeing to that?
Wow, how many other people can relate? Yes, say yes, whether I want to or not, whether I'm consulted or not.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be offered up. And then I'm going to be told I can't say no. That's the information you can't give, right? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't check with me before I opened my mouth.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. To you know, I'm told, like, to make everybody happy and create peace and it'll be, you know, whatever, all of that stuff. Like, I just had to say yes to that without ever, checking it out. Like, do I actually, you know, feel comfortable with the terms of that? And is it something that I wanted to do? And so now I'm in this, you know,
oh,
the effects
of
that.
Oh, my God, I can't work out how to get out of it. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the same process.
Yes.
Because we're not allowed to take a mulligan. And just go, excuse me, I was lost in conditioned conversation and made an agreement with you.
Yeah.
Because I would project, if you looked at that, right, Jen, it's just coming from a place of, I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but I'm willing to make this person go through hell.
Right.
Right? That's this program.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
And then this program is going to say, now, Jen, you can't say, go back and undo what you said.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make people feel bad. And so the only person who can be railroaded at any time is you. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to make sure that you're the one who has to bear the brunt of the whole thing.
Yeah. And it was so helpful to see, because I haven't been able to be clear, like, why does this keep feeling every time there's this interaction? It feels off, but I don't. And then I saw, well, no wonder I got into this situation that doesn't, I didn't get a chance to see if it was really, and I still don't feel clear, actually. So that's, like, I think the next place is to get clear, like, what are the terms that would feel okay to me?
That's right.
You know, and then maybe there's the looking, like you said, for the external. Is there, you know, an external conversation about that? But I still don't even know that for this person. So
check that out. It's a real getting clear process.
Yeah.
Right? The getting clear at this point allowed you to see that there was no consultation with Jen involved, because the conditioning wants to control the outcome to yes, no matter what.
Yeah.
To her. And so then to get clear with what would feel good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, this is a, we'll work a little bit more on this, but to get to that place of, what if I recognize, this is our process map place, right? If I recognize that conditioned place where I know that I'm being talked into saying yes,
mm-hmm.
what's the one thing I can practice saying that gives me an out, right? So actually, I can't give you an answer right now. Can I take 5 minutes to think about it or get back to you tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes, my standard response that I practice everywhere when someone asks me for something.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that I could go practice with my recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah? And it requires a great deal of presence to be able to pull that handle out. But that's all right. That's what we would practice with. Okay, so this time I'm going to try to remember that when I'm going into this situation,
that.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah,
no reviews.
Yeah.
But just to buy her the time to have the discussion before coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful. I'll look at that handle, too. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Justin.
Something that came up during the recording for me was, something that dropped in was the suffering, or the breakdown in the communication is happening before the communication starts.
Bingo.
And when that dropped in, I was like, oh my gosh, like, wow, that is something else. And then what I was seeing with that is, I'll be sharing a moment with the person where we're both happy and I'm present, they're present. It's a nice moment, but then ego will snatch up that moment and say, okay, you're happy now, but let's bring you and this other person into this better situation where this is now happening and that, and then you're going to be really, really happy. And what I saw was now I'm walking around with this picture in my mind, this idea of what should happen or is what's going to happen. And meanwhile, the other person has no idea. So as you can see, there's these two universes that are moving away from each other. And then finally, a communication is going to happen where they might say something that doesn't match up with this, you know, mm-hmm. basically fake picture, fake projection that ego's putting in my mind. And, well, that doesn't end well. There's a lot of breakdown during that. But
you've laid it out so clearly. It's exactly true, right? Here we are having a good time, and then the attention goes to how can we have a better time, right? The scrambler operating to get you out of the connection to yourself, right? Because it's easy to believe that I'm having a good time because I'm having a good time with this other person. Not because I'm not engaging in a conversation. The reason I feel happy in the moment is I'm not listening to a voice telling me to be unhappy.
Right.
Right? Or whatever it's telling me. Or to be happier.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. That once we get that the only reason that we're having a moment of well-being is because the attention is not on a conversation, mm-hmm. we will also get that it's going to rev up to get your attention again.
Right.
It's going to seduce you however you'll be seduced. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, a better moment. And then you're off in that fantasy land, and that poor person you're having a conversation with is wherever they are, and then they say something and run into that lack of alignment, and it's such a moment of separation.
Yeah, it really is. And then to add an extra layer to that, just on these past conversations, you know, I think asking the question, why... Yeah, I mean, why does the ego snatch the attention? Or why is it not just okay to be happy or just be in that moment? And just, you know, observing that, you know? Okay, I'm here, I'm happy, it's great. And then it kind of drifts away and then you're back to whatever was happening.
Yeah. There are no answers to why questions. Only how questions. Yeah? All right. Thank you. I think we're going to set up for yoga, so let's... Just record any other insights you might have about the situation. And if you feel moved to, we found two people in two different situations in this exercise. So if you want to continue to do the... Does everyone know what a two-handed is? Yeah?
Yes?
So finish the two-handed. You talked in the right hand, you listened. Now listen to it again and see if you're moved to offer anything to that person in that situation. Mm-hmm. Record that and listen to it. Yeah, if you can do it before tonight's group, that would be marvelous. Yeah? All right.